Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
Welcome once again to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show here on BBS Radio. I am Rahasia, Rahasia Uncensored, where we question their answers. Why should we question their answers? Because almost every answer we've ever been given throughout history has been misleading at best, wrong at worst, and it's never been to our advantage. But now we have the advantage called the internet and a free explosion of information. Now tonight I want to introduce you to a very close friend of mine. His name is Ralph Ring, and we're going to be talking to Ralph Ring and Marsha Brown. They live up here close to me, and Ralph Ring worked with Otis Carr. And if you don't know who Otis Carr is, Otis Carr worked very closely with Nikola Tesla. He was privy to a lot of information that the government was able to destroy. But that information is still around. And Ralph Ring has been on coast to coast many times. He's discussed this. I'm telling you, this guy is, we need to pay attention. Let me just put it that way. We need to pay attention to these people that were right in the heart of a lot of things that were happening as the government started shutting down programs and making everything secret under the disguise of national security. And that's just, well, you know what that is. That's just an excuse not to tell us what's really going on with alternative energy, alien beings, advanced civilizations, you name it. Back in the 50s, they already had programs going for anti-gravity research, and this research has been going on now for over a half a century, and they're not saying anything about it. And like a lot of things in life, it's what they're not telling us that what we should be paying attention to. Now, please remember that the Spiritual Activist Radio Show is a nonprofit radio show, and if you want to make any donations, you're more than welcome to do so, and they're much appreciated. And you can visit lotusguide.com/Rahasia Uncensored to do that. Okay, first, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Ralph Ring. Ralph Ring has led an ongoing interest and participation in areas of esoteric and ether knowledge and technologies. After leaving the U.S. Army in 1954, he began an ongoing search for answers to many questions concerning the unknown. In brief, he worked for a U.S. government-funded research facility in the areas of magnetics, levitation, and teleportation. His search eventually led him to the realities and participations of teleportation and esoteric consciousness. Ralph is a natural scientist and a creative technician who, in the early 60s, worked together with Otis T. Carr, who was a prodigy of Nikola Tesla, and a team of dedicated scientists on alternative technologies, one of which was teleportation. He was one of the three to pilot a man-made spaceship, which was called the OTC-X1, and his dream since birth has been and is to produce levitating homes, cities, and countries. He and his spiritual partner and wife, Marsha Brown, talk on expanding consciousness and natural law, which enables people to see the simplicities of all things, thereby bringing their dreams closer to reality. Marsha is an ordained minister and worked with Bendix Field Engineering, Inc. in the 1970s, a deep space tracking station, where she experienced tracking of unknown objects and experienced JPL laboratories knowing that there was life in the multiverse. Just not sure what and how to communicate with them, though. Together, Ralph and Marsha share their experiences of their great life, sharing with the audiences that we are so much a part of, and I'm very happy to call them my friends. Now let's hear from Ralph and Marsha. But first, their website, which is www.bluestarenterprise.com. Now let's hear from Ralph and Marsha. So hello, Ralph, and hello, Marsha. How are you doing today?
We're doing fine, Rahasha. Glad to see you.
I'm really happy to finally get around to doing this too. You know, it's
we are too.
This has been a meeting that's been a long time coming. And so, how are you both doing today? Good.
Well, we're doing very good. Marcia just had this major surgery yesterday on her eye, but she just goes through it like a trooper. And today she woke up and says, I'm feeling fine. I can see out of my eye and let's get on with our day. So we went to class this morning already and went to lunch and we're doing good.
Well, that's better than most people. Most people have eyes and they still don't see.
that's a good true, one. I like that.
Yes.
So, Ralph, you know, I would like to play a little bit of a devil's advocate here for a second and and get your feedback on this, because out here in the what you would call the normal world, what you and I would call the crazy abnormal world, but I'm talking about just normal people. When I talk to them about zero point energy and all the great free energy systems that are existent, they always come up with the same thing. And here it is. If it were true, and I have to admit, if I was a multimillionaire, here's what I would do. I would build at least 1,000 machines in secret, put up at least 50 websites, make 100 or 200 YouTubes on exactly how to do it, and in one day, release it. And just give those machines to big corporations and engineering firms, and just to the point where it would be impossible to call it back. Now, if I would do that, surely there must be a philanthropic person somewhere that has thought about or would be wanting to do that. And what people say to me is, if it were true, somebody would do this. So how do you answer somebody like that? Why isn't it out there right now, today?
Well, in our particular case at this moment, because of the turmoil and the transition the Earth's going through, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But we have friends in different places. One of them, we just had the chief car designer for Tesla Motor Car Company come up and visit us. And they wanted to know what we know on aerospace and spaceships and stuff, because they are moving forward. They are dynamically moving forward. This electric car was just the beginning of what they want to do. They're now redesigning batteries, and then pretty soon no batteries. And we're going to holographic imagery on different things. And their next step is aerospace. They want to build spaceships. So it's still on the get go or still on the if come, but there's still people that don't want it, and they don't want to see that. But Elon Musk has got a very strong willpower, and what he's done already with the electric car has started to make other car companies take notice, and now there's other foreign car companies are going into electric full bore right now, China and India and so forth. So it's only a matter of time till we get the fossil fuels reduced, at least, or if not totally off the roads. So it's slowly happening. It doesn't happen overnight because there's a big resistance on the part of the oil companies. They don't want to lose their profit margins and the car manufacturers and stuff. But by redesigning and giving them time to redesign, they can go. They don't have to lose anything. They can still maintain a profit margin and give people something that's cleaner and easier and more inexpensive to operate.
So, do you think the energy companies are finally starting to see the light of change coming their way, and is, even if it's secretly, starting to position themselves in a way to where they can? Because let's face it, if free energy would come out the way I just suggested, it would like completely devastate the world economy. I mean, we are a fossil fuel economy. So somewhere in between where I'm talking about and where they're at is probably the right way to go. But do you think that there's enough people involved in this that, I mean, I was just watching was a speech by Leonardo DiCaprio to the United Nations, you know, and, and it's pretty devastating what's going on. We just had Guy McPherson here, and he talked to a packed crowd over at the university. And it might be like he is on the far side of what's going on. He says it's too late, no matter what we do. We have done too much damage. There's over 38 runaway feedback loops in place, you know, like the methane expulsion, things like that, the tundra melting. Some people say it's way too late, but myself, I have to be a little bit of an optimist, even if it's like the optimist that jumped off the 10-story building and says, so far, so good, you know. You know, I have to think all the way down, yes, at least have hope for that last moment, if that's what it is. Do you think that the powers that be are starting to see the light and see that they're not going to have an economy if our environment collapses, because we are a resource-based economy?
Yeah. And the opposition and the protesting that has gone against them for years, they enjoy that because they just ignore it. But what's happening now, they're beginning to realize that their profit margins, like many companies are beginning to back off in many, many areas, are dwindling. They are no longer getting the profits and stuff because they, in the case of Monsanto, they're delivering devices that produce insecticides that are deadly to the soil, deadly to the plant life. And there are other companies springing up now going totally organic with no pesticides, using natural methods. So it's just in a slow transition. It's very, very difficult, and it doesn't have to happen overnight, but it is happening. There, it's amazing what even the medical profession. We have a doctor friend of ours that just retired from the medical profession because they were still prescribing drugs that were harmful because the side effects were harming people instead of protecting them. And he was kind of expected, if not ordered, from the AMA to proceed with that. And he said, no more, I'm going to holistic healing. So he's now in holistic healing, and he's doing very, very well. And the response from the public is enormous. They don't want any more insecticides or poisons in their food or their environment. So the big boys are going to have to rethink their whole thing because the money is no longer the issue. It's people's health, and that includes them as well, because there's a natural law. What you sow, you also reap. So what they're been giving to the public, they're going to also have to face someday. And yep. So rather than face it, I think they'd rather change. So they're beginning to affect the change.
And I feel like you and Lotus Guide are really helping to educate the people. And I think that's what the people have to be more aware of, the alternative of there are choices. There is a way out. And I think just like this interview and just like what you do on a quarterly basis.
All his interviews and all those articles that we read.
I think that's so important.
So productive to change.
Yeah, independent media is getting to be more and more, not important, but like absolutely necessary. You know, I remember when I wrote my book, that To Believe or Not to Believe, and it's about the social and neurological consequences of our crazy belief systems. In the book, I said there's two things that the powers that be weren't counting on. One is the free exchange of information, like this, the internet. They did not have that in their mindset 40, 50, 60 years ago. The other one is women. Women waking up and taking positions of true power where they actually have force, not just a token woman in government or something. I'm talking about women really stepping up, waking up, and casting off the shackles of these patriarchal religions and governments and societies. That is going to change everything, because I think men have had their turn, you know, and it hasn't worked out all that great, you know.
Well, I think it's more than that. I think it's coming into balance with the male-female. I really do see that the women are coming more into control, or not into control, but into powerful, showing that they are powerful and they do have a voice. But I don't think they should take over. I do think that working together, the male-female, as a balance, that's what was meant to be in the first place, I feel, and that's what is happening. And I think sometimes maybe it's going to look like the woman has to take over in order for the men to come into balance. Mm-hmm. But I see this more and more. They're having more women conferences. I've been asked to help with a conference, a resort. In
women's retreat.
Yes, in Prescott, Arizona. And that's the group that's doing this is going all over the world. They're in Hawaii and Northern California, Southern California. She's going all over. I've looked on the internet, and you'll see more and more of that happening. However, I really do believe we need to stay in balance. That's where it's at.
Yeah, I think balance is a really key word here, and it takes me back. There's a shift that happened in my life over something very simple that we have all done. And it was when I was riding a bike. When I started trying to learn how to ride the bike, it was like all left brain. Okay, I'm starting to fall to the right, so I need to jerk it to the left, you know? It didn't work because I was too left brain. Now, it wouldn't have worked totally to the right brain either, because in the right brain, you think of all the nice things about riding through the park and the wind blowing through your hair. But something happened when it came into balance. Something happened. There was a magic moment when it shifted. And what was once, I mean, just a few seconds ago, almost inevitable, which was falling, had all of a sudden become impossible. And I'm riding on the bike, and I felt a shift in my body. And it went from left brain thinking to a more of a total body-mind action. And I realized, oh my God, I can't fall. There's something in me that has taken over consciously. And I think globally, this can happen with male, female, right, left, Republicans, Democrats, whatever. But the balance thing is going to be the precursor, the catalyst to a higher consciousness. Because like Einstein said, we're never going to come up with the solutions from the same level that created the problems. You know, we have to come up with a higher mode of consciousness.
Yes. We believe that totally. Yes. I it's more than a belief. It's almost like we know that has to, that's a knowingness that it has to happen. And we are seeing that more and more. And I know that in some of your articles, you're seeing it more and more too.
So Ralph, Marcia, tell us a little bit about what you think the ascension process is right now.
Marcia, you said Marcia.
No, he said Ralph. Oh, he said Ralph. Go ahead.
Oh, he said Ralph and Marcia. Okay. The ascension process is simply knowing who and what we are. We're more than we think we are. We're more than just flesh and blood, bloody that means we have intelligence or intuition that comes from the heart chakra, or whatever anybody wants to call it, feelings, intuition. A higher intelligence comes from within us before it comes out of us. Before our mouth opens, we can feel that there's a difference in the realities or the structure that we're working with. So we are starting to suggest they change their realities themselves, because when you change from one form to another, you affect a change externally. And to give an example, we used to hold fairly well to the idea of breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we'd be invited by our family or friends, and we'd invite them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Until we realized, well, that's part of the handcuffs that the system has on us, or we put on ourselves, really. Because sometimes we go to breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and we're not hungry. We just ate, or we're full, or we don't feel like eating. And so we're kind of resisting within ourselves the idea. So what we've done is change the word from breakfast, lunch, or dinner to meal time. When we feel we're hungry, we eat. When we are not hungry, we don't eat. So we'll have a meal. And that may be at our friend's house for dinner. And that's fine, because that's still their way of saying it. But to us, it's just another meal when we're hungry or when we're not. So by changing the way we look at things, it makes us freer. I feel freer now to eat only when I'm hungry. And I used to go to lunches and dinners and stuff myself and feel very uncomfortable when I wasn't really hungry. So now I found an apple or a peach or something during the day and maybe a glass of good juice at night. It's all I really need anymore.
You know what, Ralph? I think a lot of these things are going to fade away. I wrote an article once, Waking Up from the Dream. And you know, of a morning, when you're having the dream, it all makes sense. Everything makes sense. Even though it's later, it seems crazy, but at the time, it makes sense. But as you wake up to this next level of consciousness, not only does the dream not make sense, it actually starts being dismantling and unravels. And I think that may be the process we're in right now. As we wake up to a global consciousness, we're going to see the old ways of thinking, the old ways of doing, the patterns, the regimentations, everything it's going to start not making sense at first. But then as we wake up even more, we might even totally start forgetting about the past. Yes. You know, we as a global society, we will have to like think, yeah, how was it then? And really have to think about it. Like the dream that just sort of fades away as we wake up to a new level of consciousness.
And I think that process is releasing the third dimension or this dimension, this dream that we're in right now. We're starting to release that. It no longer has the great meaning that it did before. We can leave things behind. We're actually changing our thoughts, our perceptions, our reality is actually changing. And that's what you're saying. It's awakening. It's happening, and it's a slow process in some areas, and other areas it's just happening really rapidly. So I think that I feel is ascension, and for each one of us, it can be a little bit different or a lot different. But I believe the ascension is happening right as we speak, and has been for a while. But this is an exciting time that we're in right now. So exciting because we chose to be here and we're part of this. That who knows where we're actually going to go, but from day to day, there's always something new. It's leaving something behind or changing what's important to us or whatever.
It becomes spontaneous and really a serendipity way of living because we wake up in the morning and instead of thinking what we have to do, we think of what we'd like to do, and actually the first feeling that comes is nothing. Like if we just want to relax, no responsibility. But then responsibility says, oh, come on, I got something for you. And it leads us to people, places, and things that we never even dreamed of possible. And it's been very, very fruitful, very, very adventurous to us.
And I think you're talking about synchronistic moments.
Yes.
Those moments that happen that are far beyond the coincidental ramifications of it. You know, like sometimes I'll be driving along and I'll hear a song and then I'll be walking through the grocery market and somebody will be talking about that very song, you know?
Yeah.
And then I have to think, okay, what was that song saying or what was I thinking at the time? Because I think these are the ways that our higher consciousness, when it comes down and intervenes into these dimensions that we're in, I truly think that this is like a matrix, a holographic kind of projection. And when that consciousness intervenes, it disrupts the software and causes things to ripple that don't make sense. Or this is like way too much of a coincidence. And at those times, I think it's our higher consciousness trying to point out something or tell us something or guide us to our next step.
Yeah, we feel that same
thing. It's time to wake up to those. And and all, probably everybody has those same kind of experiences. And we all should be more aware. As we are more aware that they're happening more and more.
Yeah, and I think the thing to keep in mind is synchronicities only show you the next step.
Yes.
You know, but our linear thinking, our old mind wants to go, okay, well, where is this next step leading to? You know, where is this going to take me? And if you get caught up into that, there's too many intervening variables. We don't have near the control we think we have of reality, but those synchronistic steps takes us on this spiritual path along the way. And you just have to and this is a strange thing for me to say, writing a book actually against beliefs, but it was against belief systems, you know, these really rigid dogmatic systems. But we're going to have a little bit of faith in our higher consciousness and take these little synchronistic steps along the way.
And kind of leave the intellect a little bit to the backside and allow that
feeling
some energy just to come about
the insight, seeing it with our real eyes, you know,
yes,
with our mind instead of our little eyes down there.
Yeah, even right now listening to you two, I mean, if I was doing this interview 5 years ago, even I would be totally in my mind right now thinking of the next question to ask, guiding the conversation, but it's not that way anymore for me. I sort of feel something in my chest area with you two, even though it's over the internet and it seems like really electronic and everything. We're spiritually, there's a non-local space that we're sharing, and I can feel a feeling with our conversation, and that is what's guiding this.
Yeah.
I think is the most important thing for us to do, is that feeling, and to allow that feeling to have its own life.
Well, that feeling's guiding me to the next question.
Okay.
So what is happening today? Are you at liberty to talk about some of the pods and what's going on with Zero Point?
We have, in effect, hundreds of pods all over the world, and it wasn't us that created them. They created themselves because of their need to participate in the change and the transition necessary on the planet to bring peace and well-being back to the planet. So, and all of them have been diligently working in different areas of energy devices and consciousness revelations for people to realize who and what they are. They're really a holographic image of who they really are. Who they really are is a spiritual being that's much more in control than we realize. But they think they're Ralph or Marcia, but Ralph and Marcia have long given up the ghost. We don't identify ourselves as that anymore. We just say, well, today I am what I am. Today I seem to be Ralph. And, you know, it goes on with freedom for ourselves to feel that way. And secondly, people, sometimes they think we're rather odd, but they realize that we're just trying to be free. We're not trying to be, you know, anything but who and what we are. And what helps in that, in the ascension process, is we try to identify what we have been doing and what we need to be doing in the now such that realizing there is no past and there's really no future. I mean, they don't really exist in the now. And the same with our realization of who we are. When we're in the moment and act from the moment of our intuition, then the spontaneity or the synchronicity becomes a regular pattern, and it just keeps unfolding, and very, very beautiful things keep happening. Because we choose to see them that way, no matter what happens. We don't see them adversely. We don't see them negatively anymore at all. We just say, well, here's another opportunity. Here's another situation that we need to look into. And it all comes out in the long run very, very nice for everybody involved. So it's just a matter of changing our perception and living from the heart instead of the head. The brain has its limits. It's a third dimensional part of the body, which controls all the vital parts of the body. And nothing to do with anything beyond the body is not interested in that. So, and we honor that for what it is, but the mind and the heart are far beyond the body. They have no limits. They're living an unlimited beyond what we call time and space. But the brain is limited in its concept of time and space and the third dimensional reality. And so we accept both worlds and operate in both worlds. But we prefer the spiritual idea of things because it's much more fun. We have a joyous way of life.
Yep. But he'd like to know a little bit more about what the pods are doing.
Though. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
So it's exciting what's happening with the pods.
The
also.
Pods, and we talk to them regularly on Skype and other ways. And we no longer have to use a lot of word power because our phones have been monitored for years, and even our Skype is monitored. But we have, and it's not something we designed. It comes to us via the ascension. We realize we don't have to say a lot about anything because a key word will telegraph to the other person the whole picture in one word. So we talk in just pictures instead of words, and nobody knows what we're talking about. We could be talking about a beautiful garden, but yet we're designing a new type of spaceship with new type of propulsion systems, but they have no way of knowing that because we're not talking in words about it. So, and all the pods now, most of the pods, not all of them, we have some in Morocco. We have one in Morocco that's the QEG project with Hope Girl. they're coming up to par now with their devices. But we have them in Peru. We have them in Australia. We have them in New Zealand. And they're all now got up to the point where they have prototypes ready to introduce. But in the past, when prototypes were introduced, they immediately got shut down or bought out and so forth. And to illustrate that, there was just a guy with an air car. It's on the internet just 2 or 3 days ago. Had a developed air car that worked perfectly just off of compressed air. And immediately he was bought out and it was shelved and nobody was allowed to talk about it. So rather than expose ourselves out there again to that kind of stuff, we decided to wait in the wings because it's a matter of time. The system's already starting to crumble. They don't have the energy systems that will launch us into a fifth dimensional reality. But we do. We have it waiting in the wings. We have magnetic motors that last forever. We have magnetic propulsion that we can morph energy. We can turn things from one energy to another. And the guys are sitting back just kind of waiting for the consciousness to change. And we have a feeling of acceptance or at least an invitation to show what we have waiting. And that's very close now. We expect it almost it could be any day because they're really in trouble with what they're doing. We have one of our affiliates is a Keshe Foundation, and I know some people don't care for the Keshe Foundation, but we're in touch with them. They're working with the Tesla technology like Carr did, and they've already developed. We're off the ground. We have levitation. They're training their pilots. They're training their people to operate with their minds instead of any mechanical instruments to operate the craft. They're off the ground and running. And what we've done is in educating our audience is advise them to look at websites like the University of Minnesota Mind Over Mechanics, which shows and clearly a professor there developed the idea through the computer to operate a little spaceship all around the gym just using the mind. They have a skull cap with the diodes on it, But that's just the first step to removing the skull cap and operating things with our mind, because we haven't done it up to this point because nobody thought it was possible. But it clearly demonstrates that it is, and they made these devices possible for the people that are quadriplegics and can't move. They're unable to feed for themselves, so they can use their mind to bring the food to them or help them in everything they do. So it's changing, and all the pods are changing, and we're ready now to come forward. When we're invited, we have some amazing technology to bring out to people.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, listening to what you're saying, it went through my mind too. When this starts to come out, it seems like everything is connected with anti-gravity, time travel. Mm-hmm. It's all interconnected. So we are going to have a higher level of consciousness to handle this when it starts being released. And I don't think most people don't realize that what you're talking about right now actually does exist. I mean, they've done experiments with monatomic gold where they've made 44% of the weight disappear, and it disappears into another dimension by changing the temperature. They can bring it back. They've done some amazing, incredible research that when people hear little tidbits about it, it's not on Fox News or CNN, so I don't know. You know, like, Mabel, bring me a beer. You know, it's like there's a whole mentality out there that really don't get it. Don't get it. And I guess I sort of live in a little bit of a bubble. I mean, Northern California is sort of special. Chico, Paradise, these areas are even more special than the inner groups that we all hang out in, is even more informed and educated. But for the most part, when you get out from that center core group, it starts getting really, really, really fine. And pretty soon you're talking to people that, you know, watch YouTubes that have cats doing crazy things. And it's a world that we really don't understand at all, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot going on. And I think that's the importance of interviews like this while we still have it, you know, because I've been reading a lot of Grinwald's book, No Place to Hide, about Snowden and the NSA.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, guaranteed, they're listening to this right now, whether there's a human being listening to it or not. It's being recorded, and it goes through these computer systems, and if keywords pop up to make it relevant, somebody will watch and listen and see if this is worth taking action on. You know, so we all need to, like, wake up and wake up as many people as possible. You know, myself, I think Snowden is a hero. I mean, he gave up a lot to do what he did, you know, and bring this out. So, and like all of us, you know, we're putting it on the line in a lot of ways, and in ways that maybe we don't even suspect. You know, I just did an interview with Ray McGovern, the CIA agent, and, you know, what he, I mean, 28 years as an analyst, he handed the presidents their daily brief in a lot of cases. You know, he had a lot to say about what's going on, and it is unraveling right before our eyes. He said his wake-up call was when Building 7 came down. I mean, you know. I mean, you'd have to be a complete moron at that point, you know, to not think that something's up. But inside Building 7 was all the paperwork for the Enron prosecutions, and all of the mortgage debunkles and everything went down, you know, disappeared. That's the reason the only person that was ever tried in any of that, the 2008 thing and all that, was, I even forget his name now, it's how important it is. But the only reason he was tried and sent to prison is because he ripped off the 1%. But all the people that ripped off the 99% people, no one's ever been...
Nobody sent him.
Nothing.
Yeah, there's so much of that going on that we hear about. And so many of the public, like you're saying, are still, like, unbelieving of what we're putting out there. But we just keep talking, just as you keep putting your publication out. accepting, not just hoping, but knowing that there's going to be people that are seeing that, that are hearing our words, and we're planting those seeds, and that's all we know to do.
And then there's a ripple effect. It just keeps flowing, and it's like water. They can't stop it anymore now because it's just flowing up from all levels. And the bankers are really worried now. We have some friends in banking.
Remember, we had dinner with David Icke a while back, and I asked David, I said, so as I'm doing research and talking and trying to figure out things, I said, what's like the primary rule? Because he's a really good researcher, conspiracy guy. He says, first thing to do, always remember this. Nothing is as it appears to be. Everything you've been told, everything you've been taught, all your religions, your governments, your social institutions, everything, it's a facade. It's a part of the matrix that's put up to blind us to what's actually going on behind it. And then as over the years, as I've gotten into what's going on behind it, there's even a deeper spiritual aspect to that. There truly is. It seems like there's a spiritual confrontation at a certain level that you have to get through to get to the unified field, the oneness of all life. But boy, to get there, it's a quagmire of mazes.
Yeah, it is indeed. And we found many of our friends that have been great, what we call light workers for years, have been attacked, you know, or given lessons that have been overwhelmingly strong. They fortunately, most of them have not succumbed, but we've had a few that have been tempted to, you know, and bought out, but it's been very, very strong, very, very intense. And what that does for the light workers and the ones that we know have survived is strengthen them. It just, they get through it and say, well, there's another one, and they wait for the next one because they know all it can do to them is strengthen them. But the temptations have become enormous. I mean, some people have been offered like millions of dollars just to shut up and shut down. And, you know, when they're operating on a shoestring, that makes a big difference. But most, 90%, 99, 97, and 98% of the light workers that we know of have never given in. They've stood their ground, and they're standing their ground to this day. They're not going to give in. So it's just where we're at.
Yeah, and we all have to do whatever it is we can do. You know, like with the magazine, we've written about ancient aliens and the extraterrestrial intervention into our society, the chemtrails, the government cover-ups. But something interesting happened to me a while back. I was going to do an issue on the government and the reptilian influence on our government. And I let a friend of mine, I can't give names, but I let a friend of mine know that he's a UFO researcher. And he told another friend of his that's connected with this group of people that are supposedly in touch with an advanced races, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I got a call on the phone from this guy. I'd never talked to him. And he says, okay, look, you seem like a really good friend of so-and-so, so I have to tell you this. And this is like straight from my heart. It says, don't do any kind of an issue on the government and reptilians. He says, that's the one connection that you cannot talk. He says, if you do, your life will change. They will intervene into your life, turn your life upside down, and you won't know whether you're coming or going. You'll get bombarded by all kinds of mental and financial problems that you can't even believe. He says, I've lost so many friends that's tried to make this connection, and it just proves that the connection is there, but we can't talk about it. He says, you do what you want to do, but, you know, there are some serious things going on the planet, and that tells me that their control seems absolute, but it's so much based upon old world intimidation techniques. And as the people, I mean, if I die tomorrow, well, so be it. You know, I'm not afraid of dying per se. And I think more of us, as we wake up and not only be not afraid of dying, but not being afraid to live and speak the truth and let that be our guide.
What's happening to people now with the advent of quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and the understanding that goes far beyond our conventional ways of looking at things, is that all energy goes on forever. There's no end to energy, and it's everywhere. And we are basically more than a body, basically an energy field. We are a strong magnetic field of energy that's holding the body together. And that being the case, the next step is, and they quantumly showed this, Bell Laboratory, which first experimenting with teleportation, but now they've got some extraordinary teleportation going on at other agencies, Lawrence Livermore and so forth. We're now realizing, that energy can't be destroyed. So that being the case, and we being all energy, our consciousness is all pure energy, that really means that we live eternally. We are eternal beings experiencing a temporal reality in the third dimension. So that being the case, people are not as afraid to stand up for their rights, to stand up for what they believe, because they know if I go, I'm eternal, I'll be back. My spirit goes on forever. And, you know, it's giving people more more strength to be themselves.
You know, I remember reading a while back, it was something that Tesla said, and I just have to paraphrase it. He put it really, really good. But he was talking about what Einstein would call the unified field. And he was saying that it's a field, not even so much of what we would see as energy. It's probably what we are starting to see, the gravitational effects, the 95% of dark energy and dark matter. But Tesla was saying that underneath all matter, that what we see as three-dimensional matter, there is a flow of this. Call it energy, call it what you want, but it's more like a river. And by disturbing it, you create a whirlpool in that river. And that whirlpool comes up and becomes a particle. And Einstein said if we could just have one cup of space, there would be enough energy in that one cup of space to boil off all the oceans on the planet. I mean, think about that, how this would change the world. Not only the energetic thing of having free energy, but the understanding of seeing that everything that we see, all of the particles, molecules, atoms, everything, is nothing more than a local disturbance in this field that underlies everything. And it sort of reminds me of Rumi. Rumi says that we should meet him in the field someday. And I think that we're all there. And it's come to my mind lately when I used to say, I want to wake up. But now I'm realizing that the I that I am saying this with is a local disturbance in the field. My true essence is already woke up, for one. And I have to let go of that I that wants to wake up because it plays constant little games and trips. Oh, I'm going to be a Buddhist today. Oh, I'm going to do this meditation today. Oh, I'm going, you know, but it's just because it doesn't want to wake up, because if it wakes up, it won't be there.
Yeah,
right. That I will disappear into the oneness that we all share right here and now. There's one being that's sharing all of this thought.
Yes. And, you know, it's time for us to take that power back that we were created to be, and get out of the program subservient system that we've been living in. We've been existing.
Surviving.
Yeah,
surviving.
Barely existing. It's time to realize that we are the great beings, the masters that we've been searching for, looking outside of ourselves. And we are that. And it's time for us to realize and to accept that responsibility, because it is a responsibility. But it'll be so much easier for all of us as we know that and share that thought with all of, you know, with all of us, that oneness that you're just speaking of. It's a beautiful knowingness there.
Well, you know what? I'm going to keep our readers and watchers in tune with what you're doing as you're doing it. So anything that happens in the future where it's, this thing's progressing more, I'd really like to know about it. Is there something you'd like to say in closing?
Well, for the listeners' information, we do have a website. It's www.bluestarenterprise.com. That's all one word, bluestarenterprise.com. And they're free to go there and roam. There's no cost. There's nothing involved. There's just loads and loads and loads of information. And you're in touch there with a lot of the pods that are doing things and showing some of the things that they're already doing. And it's a reference library, if you will, of what's going on with the Blue Star Enterprise all over the world.
It's an amazing source of information. I've been there several times.
Thank you.
Just in closing, one of the things that Otis Carr told Ralph and told the engineers that his whole entourage, that he wrote a book, and it was poetry and prose. And he said when this book is decoded, it will be time for the spaceships to become, everybody will be aware of the spaceships. They will be brought out into our
environment,
our knowledge. And about 2 years ago, one of our pods in Australia,
he's been working on it for 3 years, but he decoded the entire book called Dimensions of Mystery.
And that's on the website.
That's when Carr went to the patent office with a device, with an actual prototype of a working device of a spaceship. He was turned down because he had the word sympathetic vibrations, he had synergy, he had levitation, teleportation. And they said, no, those are not in our laws of physics. You have to take those out and we'll give you a patent on an amusement device. So long story short, that happened, but Carr says, I'll write a book and I'll put it in talking about the natural laws and how nature works. And when somebody comes along to decode that book, and incidentally on our website is the original manuscript that he wrote and the decoded one. Once you go into the website and you get to go to the pull down menu of Get Started, you'll find a decoded reference to the Dimensions of Mystery, which shows all the so-called information concerning levitation, teleportation, who and what we are, and the ways and means of sacred geometry and how it all works and everything. It's all on the website.
Well, I'll definitely make sure I put those links up. And I'll probably go there today and check it out.
Thank you.
Well, we want to thank you, Rashad, for your time, your love, and your energy, and what you're doing. We're very, very proud of you and Dara both for all the quiet, strong energy that you put out to the public in your publications and your interviews all the time. And we're very, very humbly grateful that you showed up for my 80th birthday party. That really made us feel good. Thank you so much for doing it.
I figure I should show up every 80 years.
Yeah, you're invited to the next one.
All right, you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I appreciate you both and all that you do.
Thank you.
So thanks for listening in again, once again, to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show. And that was Ralph Ring and Marsha Brown we were listening to. A delightful couple. And they're doing all they can do to bring this alternative energy information to the forefront because it has been suppressed in the name of national security for far too long. But we know why it's being suppressed. It's being suppressed by the fossil fuel companies. So tune in a couple of weeks and we will have another guest for you here at the Spiritual Activist Radio Show. And thank you very much. And if you want to make a donation, you can go to spiritualactivist.com. And it's very easy through PayPal, and it's tax deductible. So thank you very much, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. This is Rahasia Uncensored signing off.